Well, first of all, I'd like to wish all of you happy 4th of July weekend. And that gives me the occasion to reflect briefly on the importance of patriotism and religious freedom. When I grew up, the country had just finished World War II. That's when I was born. And then in the years after that, it was a Korean War. And I think after those two wars, there was a great deal of respect in our country for those who had suffered because of their military service. And there was a great sense of patriotism. That has diminished, I think, in the course of more recent years because of the Vietnam conflict and the apparent unsuccessful wars in the Middle East and those kind of things. But it's still a Christian virtue to be patriotic. Patriotism is the appropriate love of your country, which is the community in which you live and whose life you share with other citizens. And so I think it's really important for us who are Christians to be patriotic, to appropriately love our country and our fellow citizens. And the way we show that, of course, is involvement in the community and honesty about where our country stands on issues. To be patriotic means to criticize the country if it's wrong, and to praise the country if it's right, and to be involved in making sure that the decisions that the country makes through its political process are just decisions that serve the common good. So to be a politician is a patriotic act. So we should be grateful for politicians, and some of us should run for office. To be involved in political parties is a very important thing, because that's kind of where the direction of our country is initially formed, in political parties. To vote is an act of patriotism and love for your country. Become a member of a school board, and all those kind of ways are ways when we appropriately insert ourselves into the life of our society. And that's a virtuous thing. We also need to pray for our country, that the Lord would guide us in the decisions we make in the world, because we still are a very large and wealthy and powerful country, and our influence can be used for good or for bad. So we need to pray that the Lord guide the leaders of our country appropriately. So happy 4th of July. Also, our country was built on the principle of religious freedom. Many of the Europeans who came to this country to start things fresh were driven out of the countries they came from because of religious intolerance or persecution. And so our country, more than any other country in the world, has a tradition of religious freedom. Now, the danger, of course, is when people become less religious, as is clearly the case in our time, religious freedom is less important to them. It can't be important unless you consider religion important and significant. And so I think it's very important for us who are religious, at least I hope you are, you're here today, it signifies that, to be very insistent that our country continues that long tradition of religious freedom that's been part of our tradition. So we need to work and pray for religious freedom as well. Now we turn to today's scripture readings. I think in a very clear way, the Israelites in today's first reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel prove that they are our ancestors. In this reading, the prophet Ezekiel describes them with three adjectives. They are rebellious. They are people of hard face and obstinate hearts. They are truly your ancestors and mine. And to this resistant people, God sent the prophet Ezekiel to call them to spiritual freedom. Now, this reading is here to set up today's gospel, because Jesus goes to his hometown, the little town of Nazareth at the time, probably a community of just several hundred people, after being out preaching and teaching and healing, he comes to his hometown. And guess what happens? Let's listen to today's gospel once again. When the Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Josie and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Now, the questions they were asking were certainly the right questions, but those questions were asked with the wrong spirit. They reveal a resistance that God could somehow be working through someone who was just like them, someone who they knew well and whose family they knew. And you can see even in the questions that they ask a certain kind of disdain, because ordinarily in the culture of that time, they would have said, "Is he not the son of Joseph?" But in this case, the son of Mary, remembering perhaps the unusual way that Jesus came to be when his mother was not married. So there's a certain kind of contempt towards Jesus that's expressed in this attitude and in these kind of questions. And the reading goes on to say that Jesus said in response to that, he quoted to them a word of wisdom that was common to the Middle East at that time. "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, among his own kin, and in his own house." There was resistance to Jesus by his own people. These were the descendants of the Israelites, and these people are our spiritual ancestors as well. Resistance to Jesus is part of our life as Christians. Resistance to what he says when he challenges us, and resistance to who he is when that makes demands on us we don't want to accept. And we're told in this reading that this lack of faith on the part of his community amazed Jesus. And because of their lack of faith, he wasn't able to work miracles there. In the Gospel of St. Mark, earlier, we're told that Jesus was also amazed at the faith of people he met. So it seems like two things really astonished Jesus: deep faith and a lack of faith. And it's clear that a lack of faith stands in the way of Jesus being able to work in his own community, among his own people. And that's really the lesson of today's gospel for us, that unless we are women and men of faith, which means we have a trusting relationship with Jesus, we believe him and we trust him, Jesus is not able to work in our lives those wonderful miracles that he wants to work. The absence of faith stands in the way, it curtails the work of Christ in our own lives. Now, what's the answer to this problem, this lack of faith? I think we find the answer in today's second reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthian community. This is an interesting reading because St. Paul gets very personal about himself. He says in this reading that in order that he wouldn't be too proud because of his spiritual experiences, God sent what he calls a thorn in the flesh, an angel of Satan, to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. You know, people, scripture scholars and others for the centuries have wondered, what in the world is this thorn in the flesh that St. Paul is talking about? Now, what was it that God sent him that caused him such difficulty? And some of the answers that have been giving was perhaps it was epilepsy. There are times in the letters of St. Paul where St. Paul talks about his weakness and his fainting, and some people have interpreted that as maybe St. Paul had epilepsy. Others say maybe it was his eye problems, because Remember when he came to conversion, he was struck blind on his way to Damascus, and some say, well, maybe that's the thorn in his flesh that St. Paul is talking about. Others say it might have been a speech problem, you know, that St. Paul often talked about the other apostles being much more eloquent than he was. So perhaps the reason was that he had a speech impediment of some kind. But regardless of what it was, the message of this reading is that St. Paul understood that his human affliction, whatever it was a gift from God, because it enabled him to understand that the good things that he accomplished weren't of his own doing, but were the result of the work of God in his life. That he's going to stop bragging about his good points and brag about his weaknesses. Because in bragging about his weaknesses, he was really bragging about the goodness of God working in his life. So the remedy for hardness of heart that's given to us in today's second reading is humility. Understanding that, you know, on our own, we are weak, that everything is a gift from God, and it's very important to understand that in our human weakness, God is able to show his strength. That our resistance to God is overcome by our submission to God in trust, in faith, and in love. And so, here we are. This is the gift of the 14th Sunday of ordinary time, an invitation from today's scripture readings to give up our resistance and submit ourselves in humble obedience to God. That's what St. Paul did, and it changed his life, and he changed the world. If we do the same, it will change our life, and God will use us to change the world as well. May God bring to completion the good things he wants to begin in our lives today.